Welcome to the AWS Industrial Insights Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Ledarczak. With each episode, we bring you an inspiring leader with practical advice to help you solve your toughest business challenges. Because we believe that sometimes, all it takes is one big idea or one piece of wisdom to change your business forever. So thank you for listening, and we hope you enjoy today's show. Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining the AWS Industrial Insights Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Ledarczak, and I'm here today with a guest co-host, Tiffany Fremmer. Tiffany, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and tell our audience what we're here to cover today.
Thanks, Scott. Hi, I am Tiffany Fremmer, a senior marketing manager at Amazon Web Services focused on manufacturing. I have over 15 years of experience working at industrial and technology companies in a variety of roles, and I'm really excited to be here today. In honor of International Women's Month, today's topic is One Woman's Journey, Diversity in the Tech and Industrial Space, with our guest speaker from Honeywell, Oksana Pickerell. Hello, Oksana, and thank you for joining us. Can you please introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about Honeywell and your current role there?
Yes, thank you, Tiffany. Thank you, Scott. Delighted to be here today and to have this conversation. At Honeywell, we're an industrial company that is on this exciting journey of progressing to be a software industrial. So we are increasingly blending traditional technology and software to innovate in different ways to deliver new value to customers. We, as a corporation, are organized around three megatrends, which are industrial automation, the future of aviation, and energy transition. So it is an absolutely exciting way to be in this industrial world. And as far as my role is concerned, I'm wearing two hats right now. I lead our connected life sciences, connected logistics businesses. And I'm also taking on a new role as of last month, leading software business model across Honeywell. So figuring out how do we provide that acceleration to all business units across the corporation.
Thanks, Oksana. It seems like you're quite busy at the moment. That's a lot of hats to wear at once.
Yeah, a little bit.
And it's interesting to hear the transition that Honeywell's been making too. And I'm sure we'll get into a little bit more of that as you talk more about your career and we get into some of the questions here. So our first question as we get into some of the discussion here is, you know, at Amazon, our position is that diversity, equity, and inclusion are good for business. And more fundamentally, they're just simply right. Although I know you agree with this, tell me why you think it's important to have more women in the industrial and technology sectors.
Oh, absolutely. And definitely agree with the diversity is good for business slogan, in addition to being right. So I would say, first of all, diversity of thought is such an important thing, especially in industries that innovate rapidly. And realistically today, I don't know of an industry that doesn't want to innovate. So bringing different perspectives, different lived experiences to discussions, I think is a very important component of making better decisions over time. And then even with things like commercial engagement, doing more collaborative work and collaborative innovation with customers, we all have different types of connections and networks that we're plugged into, both personal and professional. And I think the ability to plug into conversations differently with customers, with partners, with job candidates is another way that diversity really pays off for a business.
Got it. Maybe you can talk a little bit about your career journey for us. Can you describe your career journey for us?
Yeah, happy to do that. Going back to high school, I was a bit of a science nerd. So I was in the physics and math high school and programs, and then got really interested in biology, went into genetics as the most mathematical at the time branch of biology. So was a genetics undergrad, then did molecular biology, cell biology in grad school, got to participate in the Human Genome Project at NCBI, National Center for Biotechnology Information, which was a really wonderful way to be on the ground as the human genome and other organism genomes were being sequenced, and try to apply programming skills, mathematical discipline to try and make sense out of that sequence. And after that, have worked in biotech, was a bioinformatics scientist at some point, added an MBA to my set of skills, worked at the National Cancer Institute, both as a bioinformatics scientist and later on as a program lead for phase zero clinical trials. And then spent a number of years in consulting at Booz Allen Hamilton in a diverse set of businesses, all the way from strategy and policy to the new emerging technologies around cyber, data analytics, data science, serving customers across the biotech healthcare landscape. And then did a medtech startup and landed at Amazon at some point, where it was just a fabulous journey at AWS, leading the global healthcare life sciences partner business, where we helped dozens, if not hundreds, of partners platform and scale their businesses on AWS. And 3 years ago, joined Honeywell to first integrate a new acquisition of Sparta Systems into the Honeywell Connected Enterprise, and then build out the broader connected life sciences business, which we later expanded to add the connected logistics scope as well. So it's been a very interesting journey. It's been a great opportunity to blend business and technology and science and increasingly focus on growing teams, growing capabilities, and making others around me successful.
Thanks. And funny that we had to chat a little bit to see that you and I actually worked together at AWS a bit 6 years ago. I had to dig back in my email for that one. So I guess since you kind of laid out your career journey, can you give me some examples of, you know, our topic is women in the industrial and technology sectors. So are there any mentors in your career that really stand out? And if so, I'm assuming it's going to be yes. You know, what did he or she do that was so effective? And how did it impact kind of how you approach your career?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Nobody can grow without help of people around them. So there's a long list of formal and informal mentors that I'll always be very grateful to. And I think what's important, because I do think we have a fairly diverse audience here, I think different mentors give us different things at different stages in the career as we grow. So when I think about the early days, even just having somebody wave me over and say, hey, you got to sit at the table and not in the back row, that was a big deal. Mentors who were able to help me mature as a manager, think about what do you do yourself, what do you delegate. There was a phase where that was an important set of mentors. I also think it's really important for all of us to realize that half the time we're mentoring people when we have no idea we're doing it. So even, you know, the principles, the behaviors that we pick up in leadership around us can have a profound effect. I will never forget one of my PhD advisors reflecting on how when he started running his own lab, suddenly he got a lot smarter and his jokes got a lot funnier. And I will never forget that. And every time I get promoted, it keeps me keep humble and remember quotes like that to make sure that you know, we're not getting carried away and still focus on making the right decisions. And then, of course, in almost half the jobs I had, we've had formal development programs, and Honeywell has been a great place for that. I think there are very few companies that do it as well as Honeywell does. So everything from assigning executive mentors to running executive development programs. I was fortunate to participate in one of those last year called the EDP, the Exec Development Program, where about 20 senior execs across the corporation get to both engage around important issues. We get to spend 3 weeks out of a year together, including a week and a half on the road across India, Turkey, Middle East, and learn about the business, learn about our customers, engage with leadership, and realistically also build relationships with each other. And I think that's another very important piece, that as we grow, we learn more and more from the peers that we're coming up in the ranks with. And these become very important, very valuable connections and friendships over time.
Yeah, thanks, Exam. That's you've had quite the career path, hearing your career journey and some of the perspectives you just gave, you know, throughout your career journey, having perspectives from different mentors throughout that time. It's interesting, and I've gone through similar experiences as that as well. I think that the having different people at different stages of your life and things that you've learned is very important, especially as we think about, you know, the topic for today and understanding your journey and kind of being a female in the technology landscape. You've got a lot of different experience around STEM related, you know, roles in your career. So when you look at the industrial and technology landscape, how have things changed for females since you started your career?
I would say in biology and biotech, there have always been quite a few women, and different environments also attract different types of employees across the board. So, you know, women may gravitate more towards healthcare and than technology at times. And I would say the overall trend has been in towards having more women at the top, but we still have so much more work to do. And in my mind, what's really important is, no matter where we are and what sector we are in, to create a climate where everyone can play, because you never know, you can never tell ahead of time which category of people are going to feel underrepresented. So without guessing and without only worrying about women, I think it's important to create that environment and climate where everyone can play. And I know as part of, you know, thinking about this topic, we looked up some statistics that I thought might be interesting to reflect on. When you look at some of the examples of how and where women are represented, one of the study we came across was CNBC, noting that the biggest growth sectors for female representation over the last decade have been basic materials and industrials. And the numbers are still not as great as probably some would want to see them. So in materials, we've seen that number move from 6 to 14%, and in industrials from 6 to 12%. So yeah, the representation has doubled, but do we want to stop at 12%? I wouldn't say so. So very encouraging trends, lots of work to be done. That's how I would think about it.
Yeah, agreed. The numbers look great, 6 to 12%, but it's still just 12%, right? It's still has a lot of room.
And that's only for executives, I believe, right? Executive positions for female executives in those industries.
Well, the way they formulated was the named executive positions. So yeah, that's looking at the more senior roles. And, you know, hooray to utilities. Utilities got 21%. But yes, still a lot of work.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, since we're throwing around stats, you know, the one I had looked up was, you know, women have definitely made tremendous strides in science and technology and engineering and mathematics or STEM education. But according to Forbes, women still only represent 26% of STEM professionals across all technical occupations in America. Oksana, do you have any ideas on how to open the doors to more women in STEM or tech roles?
Well, having been one of those women in STEM, I think I do have some ideas. And I think as larger organizations, we certainly have things that we can do in a more structured way. So, but there are also cultural aspects of and blockers that still exist in the society. So, if I think about what businesses can do, we can, and we're doing it at Honeywell, by the way, we can organize around increasing women in the industry. We can work on allyship, on recruiting, pull a number of business levers. And at Honeywell, we're focusing on leadership development programs for women that can help them think about their careers, thinking about building out their professional networks, creating those additional linkages and opportunities. And that includes mentorship, networking, focus on flexibility to balance responsibilities. And I think it's that latter one that frequently still stands in the way for quite a few women. And that's one of those areas that we're not going to solve overnight, because it's really more connected to how we live our lives, how our society is organized. When you think about it, we've talked a lot over the years about flexibility for new families, new parents, and there's quite a bit of progress that's been made there. As I continue to coach more and more senior women that are on my teams and that surround me, more and more I hear about the challenges of the sandwich generation. So it's no longer just about daycare and maternity leave. It's frequently about taking care of parents at the same time as you're raising a family, thinking how to, for example, accommodate needs of extended family and of aging parents as we're asked to relocate and move around the world for our jobs and various positions. So I would say there's a lot of unsolved territory in those areas. And that flexibility, the ability to demonstrate to women that they can be successful and feel that they're meeting their responsibilities towards their families at the same time, I think that's probably still an unsolved area for many of us.
Right. Before we jump to our next one, Tiff, I mean, I had to look that up because I didn't know what the sandwich generation was.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and it's funny. I just want to, for our listeners, I just looked it up, and it refers to middle-aged adults, often in their 40s and 50s, who are caring for both elderly parents and their own children. I had not heard that before, so got it.
Well, and Oksana, I appreciate that because I feel like I am also in that category, and it is a thing that, or an area that I think as companies manage that and help women in the field who are trying to balance everything. I mean, there's a lot that goes into raising a family and trying to care for others, you know, in your family that are getting older. It's not easy to do. And finding that balance along with also wanting to have a career is a challenge. Like, as you talked about the things that you think can open the doors, I also just wanted to say you sharing the story today, right, helps open the doors to other people, hear about successful women in STEM roles that have worked across a lot of different areas within technology and touching on industrial as well, right? So you've been across a lot of different areas and your career journey is impressive to share with people. And I think that in itself, helping to advocate and tell your story is also, you know, just a part of opening the doors for others to understand and, you know, see the advantages of being part of these different industries and what it can give you. So thank you for that. Is there any final advice you'd like to maybe offer the next generation of females as they get ready to enter these fields of industrial and technology?
I think one of the things that women in general tend to do is hold themselves to a very high standard when it comes to speaking up, to sharing knowledge. And this is at times something that we do to ourselves. So setting a very high bar around being confident before engaging on an issue, before leaning in. And there are areas where we need to obviously be fact-based and bring our experience to the table. At the same time, it is okay sometimes to find a way to speak up without having 100% confidence, 100% certainty. And I know that's feedback I've gotten from a number of my mentors, and especially male mentors over time, is, you know, be less afraid to swing for the fences, and that's something I'm still working on. So I think that's also important to not forget that at any given point in time, all of us are work in progress. So holding back from that desire to be perfect, having a very high percentage of confidence that we know what we're doing, sometimes it holds us back. So getting over that hump, I think, is an important piece of development, an important piece of work. The other element I would think about is, when in doubt, what sometimes helps us is to advocate on behalf of a customer or somebody else other than ourselves. So when we are trying to come to a conclusion, or when there is a divergent set of opinions on how to solve a problem, lifting out of the nitty-gritty and saying what's the right thing to do for the customer, that frequently breaks the logjam and lets us all, you know, get the egos out of the room and focus on solving the right problem. And then some of the other things that come to mind is building out the peer and support networks. I think that's extremely important. And the network doesn't stop working when you leave a job. I still have a lot of close friends from my previous companies, and those are the people where we got a chance to support each other through thick and thin. We know that we have a level of trust. And those are the people I can even call today and say, hey, am I crazy? This is what's, you know, what I'm mulling over. How would you handle it? And not only is that a really important network that gives you perspective, it's also people who are growing in their careers across companies, across industries, that give you a broader view of what you need to do professionally and what could help your business grow. And how do we get comfortable with being uncomfortable? And that's just something that is going to be with us. And getting used to thinking that that's just a sign of growth, tackling the next challenge. It's okay to be uncomfortable, and probably at a fairly significant percentage of the time. And of course, everybody, I would encourage you to celebrate your success, no matter how small or big. It's important to stop and think about those things. They carry us through the day when things get tough. So look for those little moments that can show you that you're moving in the right direction, no matter how big or small the step is.
Yeah, good stuff. Good information. And I guess one of the points you raised is something that I think I try to work on myself, and at Amazon, we're big on this, and the culture is, you talked about the high standards and the willingness to speak up, if you will. I mean, I know that I try in meetings to call on people, you know, who might not always be willing to offer opinions and ask, right? That's one way I think is something concrete that I do is in meetings. I don't want to say I'm calling out people, but I mean, asking other people for opinions who don't normally offer opinions, right? And that can also help gather that input and get that diversity. So,
yeah, and that was actually one of my favorite kind of behavioral rules at Amazon, was the most senior person always tries to speak last in the room. And that's the way to get everybody to speak up and not be biased on the most senior, by the most senior opinion.
Right, right. Well, good stuff. I think, Tiff, anything to add? If not, maybe we can kind of wrap it up.
No, just one thing. I just, you know, thanks for adding all those pieces of advice. I really like to celebrate your successes, no matter how big or small. It's important to, you know, celebrate what you're doing, because that also adds to helping you build your confidence, right, to what you said earlier. So I think they kind of, they work with each other, right? And they're going to be dependent on each other as you do that. So I think that's great advice and things that everyone should remember to help you grow more in your career as you, you know, as your career extends. So thank you for that. And thank you for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Plus one, thanks for having you. Really cool topic. Thanks for the good detail.
And happy International Women's Day.
And happy International Women's Day. There you go. Thanks, everyone.